Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Drug Friend Podcast, episode 131. I'm Travis, a.k.a. Nest Friend. We got Snest Drunk over here. We got Alex. Alex, how's it going?
God, you caught me in mid-sip. I'm doing good. How are you?
I love how you always start to take a sip when I start bringing in the show. You're like, I'm going to see if I can get it down before it's my turn.
I got to get prepared.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
I got to get my Harry Carey voice going here because I'm having another beach-aged Budweiser.
Are you actually having one of those?
No, but we have a giant one in the fridge for when my partner's dad comes over. So it's one of those like it's like a size of a football. So I'm always tempted to like bust that thing open and just like drink the whole thing. But I know I wouldn't even be able to get like 1/4 through that thing before I'm like, yeah, I've had my fill of Budweiser.
Wait, you guys, it's for him?
Yeah, we keep one of those in our fridge when he comes over.
Oh.
Just to give it to him, and he drinks the whole thing in like 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was maybe if like when he comes over, he loves it when you do your Harry Carey, so you keep that beer ready. Well, so that you could do the whole bit. That'd be cool.
Oh, I wish. No, but that'd be too much pressure, and I would fold. I'd be stumbling all over the place, you know. Even if Sammy Sosa were at the plate, Greg Maddux on the mound.
Greg Maddux is a great name for him to say, but you know what name I'd love to hear him say? I'd love to hear him say Top Spot 1-2-3, because that's our guest today.
As the Top Spot 1-2-3. Hey, that sounds like 1-2-3 strikes you're out of the ball game.
There it is. Nice. Harry Carey, everybody. Let's get him to bed. Harry, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. And get back in your lazy boy. But we have Top Spot tonight. Top Spot, how you doing, man? It's been a long time.
Howdy, guys. Thank you guys very much. I'm doing all right.
That's wonderful, man. I still to this day routinely check your YouTube channel to see if there's anything fresh on there, man. And what's your creative output these days? What's coming out of the Top Spot? Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've kind of changed to where I'm playing video games more than just talking about them online.
Weird.
So yeah, I know, right? So not a full hiatus. I still throw out a short every now and then, and as I'm able to, I've got a couple projects in play that I want to get done, but I've just kind of de-emphasized the channel for a little while and just working on, you know, my own other hobbies. So,
right on, man. Well, that's always good.
Right on.
You never have enough hobbies. That's what I always say. And
well, let's face it. Like making videos is hard, and
it's a lot
sometimes
of work.
It's like I'm not interested in doing that much work right now.
Oh, especially Top Spot's videos, man. They're intricate. He's got like live footage. He's got to keep.
Well, you got to film everything, and I've tried to do that and failed. So I know how hard that is. So
I mean,
I get it.
I want to update a video for my living room where I have all my consoles on this set of shelves over here. Because in January I kind of redid it all, and I want to shoot it and show it. But yeah, exactly what you're talking about. It's like, yeah, but I could just sit in front of it too.
Yeah, and not have to worry about.
That's right.
I mean, in your videos, you got to have nice, like manicured nails because your hands are basically your face.
That's a lie. I mean, if you go back and check, if you got dirty thumbnails, like I've done a poor job of keeping up appearances there.
You're somebody's hand model. Somebody, you know what? There's somebody out there who watches your videos over and over again because they're into your hands.
I hope so.
I got a story about dirty fingernails. For some reason, when I was, I think I was only 20 years old, I was promoted at my where I worked as a call center representative, customer service, to the supervisor of a certain shift. And they wanted me to conduct interviews for new hires and stuff. And this guy came in for one interview. He was like in his probably 30s, 40s. Guy clearly like a you know, regular smoker. His fingers were all yellow and his nails were all like, I'm talking like tons of gunk.
Mm.
You know, gunk that's been there since the 60s, you know, like just unhealthy looking person, bad teeth, all that. And the interview was just bad in general. But the person that I was with, you know, asked me, like, what'd you think? And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't think he, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not sure if he's a good fit or whatever. And Nancy was the person I was sitting with. She was my boss. And I said, what did you think? She's like, did you see that guy's fingernails? There's no way we're hiring that guy.
Hey, it goes a long way, man.
And it's like, I learned that, you know, very quickly. It's like, oh, if I want a job interview, I should clean my nails. So
I think it's definitely a tiebreaker. Like if it comes down to you and a person with cleaner nails, I mean,
I don't think it came down to that in this case, but
Brian.
Definitely didn't help the guy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Two people to notice. It must have been pretty bad.
Oh, it was. It was. I still can see it in my head. It was not disgusting, but just like if it's noticeable, it's not great.
Well, he had toenails on his fingers.
Yikes.
Oof. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to be too critical of people's like stuff, but I just a wild array of toenails will. I'll stare, and I won't mean to, but I'm like, it looks like a jack-o'-lantern's mouth down there, man. Don't you know? Don't you know that that's why I'm staring?
It's like Austin Powers, where it's like the mole scene. Fred Savage has a mole on his face. Same thing.
Yeah. Can't stop saying mole.
Mole!
It's good stuff. What else is going on? Top spot? I mean, tell us. What games are you playing? You say you're playing games now.
Well, you know, I don't want to bring up Polykill a whole lot, but
please.
Well, I know, but I was sending in a bunch of beat tweets until I got to Breath of the Wild, and that's kind of taken over everything for the last month and a half or so. So Breath of the Wild update, I'm like almost 100 shrines in, three of the beasts, and I just got the Master Sword last night. So we're coming close to the home stretch on that one.
Quality. Are you usually like a big Zelda guy?
Oh, super big. I've played them all, and I wanted to play them in order, and I got, just due to life, I got behind on a release or two. So I played like Skyward Sword like maybe last year or the year before, and finally worked my way up to this one. I didn't, you know, and time just flies. So that game came out 7 years ago, and I hadn't played it yet. So it's like, well, I guess it's time.
Yeah. What do you think, though? I mean, said you're like 100 shrines in. I would assume that you're the type of person like me who would just power through at that point, even if you weren't having fun, because it's like sunk cost fallacy. But I mean, are you genuinely liking it, or do you have Stockholm syndrome?
So like, I was nervous to start it because of all the accolades, and it's like so different from, you know, in a lot of ways it's different from other Zeldas. It's like, I'm not sure about this, and I don't play much open world, you know? So it's like, there was a lot making it like, maybe it's not for me. Maybe I won't enjoy it, but it's not every day you can play like one of the greatest games you've ever played. And that's how I feel through almost the entire thing. It's just been, it's hitting the spot. I'll just put it that way.
Nice. So when you say you're not into open world, like what is it about Breath of the Wild that's open world? Like, well, how come that game works
well,
for you?
I don't mean that I'm not into it. I just mean I haven't played that many of them. So, you know, I tend to stick with platformers and things like that. So I try to play a few different kinds of genres, but open world has kind of missed me. I haven't played many of the Ubisoft open world games. And so, but it's kind of having the opposite effect. Now that I see how much I like Breath of the Wild, I'm starting to like make a list of other open world games I want to play.
Oh, interesting. What are a few on that list?
Yeah, well, Skyrim, he said. I've got that, what's the one that came out about the Greek gods? Ubisoft came out, that Phoenix Rising or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
The Horizon games I want to give a try.
Me too. Those look kind of cool.
Yeah. So, and one a game that I quite like, and it's somewhat open world, the second Darksiders game, kind of tickled the fancy. I want to play through that one again. So,
yeah, that's because that's got a little bit of a Zelda flavor to it.
A little bit, yeah, absolutely. And I really enjoyed it my first time through, and it's been many, many years. So, I might just go through that one again, just for old time's sake.
Yeah, I've been wanting to go through that trilogy. I think I played through a good chunk of the first one and got duck at some point, and then the game left my possession, and then I never went back, and now I have all three, which I guess they were, weren't they shooting for four, and then THQ went down, because we were supposed to be like the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and they got to the third one.
THQ went down after the second one came out, so, but I think it was the same developer that ended up making the third one, just a different publisher. But there is a side story, too. So there is actually four. There's
Darksiders.
Yeah, Darksiders Genesis, I think it is. It's kind of an isometric, mostly co-op kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty underrated, I would say, franchise.
I really like the two that I've played, but I haven't played three yet either. So,
gotcha.
Since we got Zelda on the brain, I'm curious, and you guys were talking about replaying stuff, what's your first choice to replay in that franchise? You can pick any one of them. I know Trav is probably going to say the original Legend of Zelda. I don't even know what I would pick. Probably Link to the Past. It's been a while. Top, if you were to go back and play any of the Zelda games again, like not, you don't have to do it, but I'm not telling you go do this. You know what I mean? This is totally hypothetical.
I thought this was a podcast. I'm getting homework.
No, it's what one would you love to revisit?
Okay, so last year I believe it was I did replay Link to the Past. I hadn't played it in nearly 20 years.
Nice.
And I played that to kind of whet my appetite for the Link Between Worlds on the 3DS.
Oh, right on. That's cool.
You know, cuz I wanted to have a little more familiarity with the map going into that one. So I just did that one recently, and the only 3D Zelda that I've ever played twice is Twilight Princess. I like that one quite a bit, and I might actually go back and play that one again. I have that Wii U copy that I haven't opened yet, so the HD version. So
that
might be one I'd go back into.
That would be worth it, yeah, for sure.
That would have been, because I replayed the original in the past year, and it's become sort of like every 3 to 4 years I run through that. But I guess, Alex, if you were to like force me out of my comfort zone, so to speak, I would probably also select either Twilight Princess or Wind Waker. I think those are two that I played kind of around the same time, like college age. And I just have a lot of fond memories, and I'd like to go back and see if they hold up.
You stole my second place answer. My generic answer is always going to be Link to the Past, but I never finished Wind Waker. I got bored with some of the tedious stuff that came in the late part of that game. But at the same time, that was like back when I lived with somebody who this is back in, 2002. What does that make that? 22 years ago? Or 2003, somewhere around that time. Yeah, that makes me sad that I haven't played that game since then. So, I would just like to rectify that at some point and play it again. That's my second choice for sure is Wind Waker. But yeah, if you haven't, if you like Twilight Princess and you haven't played I'm trying to remember, was that Wii to Wii U,
or was that GameCube to Wii,
GameCube to Wii?
And then Wii to Wii U, I guess. Well, gotcha. HD, so.
Gotcha.
And I played the GameCube and the Wii one, but I haven't played the Wii U.
If you love the game, might as well. It's not like you're going to be disappointed.
It was essentially my favorite until Breath of the Wild, I guess, so.
Right on. That's cool.
Very cool. All right. Well, we've Zelda'd it up. We've talked about Top Spot's adventures through open world games. Is it time for emails?
Emails.
Email. Right, let's go. Let's have you read this first one, Travis.
All right. This comes from our pal Weedo, just a hallmark of the Polymedia Discord. This is titled Super Nintendo /NES Port. Hello, friends. Short question for you. What Super Nintendo game would you like to have an NES remake of? And what NES game would you like to have a Super Nintendo remake of? And he says, have a nice no roots. And I don't know if I pronounced that right, but I did look it up. Now, I know our pal Weedo 100% Dutch. He might even be the most Dutch person he is easily the most Dutch person that I know. And this holiday, Nowruz, if I'm saying it right, is the Iranian or Persian New Year. So he's just looking at the calendar, picking a holiday, I think.
Throwing at the dartboard.
But a happy one to you as well, Weedo.
I always thought it would be funny to have an NES version of Mortal Kombat. Because mostly because the NES has no fighting games. I mean, it does. They're just shit.
Garbage. You know,
yeah, like Ninja Turtles Fighting Edition is just so bad. Or you got like that crappy Double Dragon. it's just like, I don't know. When I can remember being a kid, and there was a kid in our school bus that was super dismissive of Street Fighter II. And because my friend was trying to describe to him, it's like, yeah, it's like two guys fighting. And this dude's like, you mean like in Double Dragon on NES? That sucks. And he's like, no, it's way better. And it's like, I guess if you're used to NES fighting games, like, it's kind of funny to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it didn't even sound like a good idea to him. Like,
that's what
funny.
I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
He couldn't see the sea change coming. Yeah.
The tidal wave of right. all this awesomeness coming over the horizon. But yeah, Mortal Kombat on NES would be hysterically funny because, first of all, 8-bit blood is just funny mm-hmm. on its own. I don't mean to make light of gore. You know, it's obviously a very serious situation when you have violence involved.
All right, easy, Joe Lieberman. It's okay.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Easy Joe Lieberman. I did not have that on my bingo card tonight. easy. All right, but no, it would be funny. The sound bites would be funny because they'd be all garbled and weird. It would only be like six characters because that's all the game could handle. It'd be choppy as hell, but it'd still be really charming because it's Mortal Kombat. The frame rate, like, I would say sacrifice everything for frame rate to make, like, the gore as gory as possible and the blood as bloody as possible, and just cut it down to like Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Kano, Sonya, Raiden, and I don't know, pick somebody, Johnny Cage, I guess, and just have those guys have a final boss battle, and there's your game. I hope somebody makes a ROM hack of that, or a homebrew of that, or something.
Actually, I think it exists.
No.
Back when I got into emulation, you know, way back in the day, especially like over in China or whatever, they would pirate cartridge all these games because they can make a buck off of them. So I think there's a bunch of NES ROMs, not official releases, but pirate versions of 16-bit games.
You're talking, okay, yeah, like yeah. old school.
Yeah, and then the okay. ROMs got ripped, and so I think it's out there. And yeah, it's choppy and everything else.
I'm making a note of that right now so I can go see if I could find those because I really, yeah. that sounds awesome.
I'm fairly certain there's a Street Fighter 2 one. There might be like a Tekken one or something like that.
Tekken on NES? That's amazing. Trav, you're the NES expert. What is the best one-on-one fighting game for the NES if you had to pick?
Man, that's a great question. I mean, the Tournament Fighters Turtles is the best, even though it's not great. Once you get to 16-bit, it's like there's no comparison, right? Urban Champion Stoop. Was it Urban? Is that the name of that game? Urban? I don't
yeah,
know.
So there is an Urban Champion. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the arcade port where you just fight dudes in the street and you can mm-hmm. then get hit with
flower, knock them down
flower
the
pots
manholes.
And yeah. knock them down the manholes. And then there's Karate Champ. I've not played it, but I think that is a fighting game. And then there's
I think that's trash if I had to guess.
But then there's boxing games that kind of work, like Ring King and Best of the Best Championship.
Oh, I was just going to say Best of the Best. I think that has an NES release, but it's basically just a static screen with two guys kicking at each other.
I should say it looks decent. I've never played it, but I've always thought it looked good.
By the way, I just want to say when I can't remember what video I talked about that game with, that's a weird way of phrasing that, but I'm trying to remember something here. You can cut this out, Trav. I'm sorry. There okay. was somebody. There was somebody that was really into the best of the best games, and I mentioned something about the best of the best version on Super Nintendo, and I said something dismissive about it, like, you know, they tried to make this, like, you know, the best they did the best they could. It's a good idea, but it's just not good for the hardware or something like that. Like, maybe this would have been better off for later systems, blah, blah, blah. This guy came in, like, guns blazing, like, you don't understand, like, the amount of work that went into this game. I'm convinced this dude, like, had to have worked on this game.
Yeah.
And was, like, we put in so much strategy and, like, blah, blah, blah. Just,
you're insulting his child.
Yeah, exactly. It was, like, two paragraphs or something. But it's hard to remember because it was, like, seven, 8 years ago, something like that. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that game on NES is at least decent. So, but the point being, NES has no good fighting games.
Yeah. It's just two buttons is not enough.
We need a proper NES Mortal Kombat, in my opinion.
I agree. Let's do it. What about an NES game that you would like to see a Super Nintendo remake of?
I think the easy answer for that would be Disney stuff. Mm. You know, like all the DuckTales, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, like that sort of stuff. Like that stuff on SNES would be so much fun. As far as like more obscure things, you'd have to go like I don't know, something like Battle of the Olymp. What is it called? Battle of Olympus.
Battle of Olympus. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, where it's a 2D. Action RPG. I would like to see that on a more advanced system where it's like more polished, or even something like a kind of a shoot 'em up deal, like Legendary Wings. I feel like that would be better on Super Nintendo too, because I like that game on NES. I always wish there was a sequel that made that game better. I feel like we get this question like at least like once every like five podcast episodes, so I'm trying to like vary our answers here, but that's really all I can think of.
I think those are good answers.
What about top?
Yeah, let me ask you a question real quick before I give my answers. I don't pay a ton of attention to fan games and hacks and stuff, just for whatever reason, but there are people that do port NES games to SNES now. Have you checked out any of those?
Yes. Do you follow the website Time Extension?
I do not.
Okay.
I just they see it pop up on my Twitter every now and then, you know, that someone has finished a port.
They're always updating. Like, they're part... So, I'm old, and I still use an RSS feed. Mm-hmm. And so, I subscribe to them on my RSS feed. And I always get notifications saying, like, such and such is making a port of this game from NES to SNES. I think it was just this morning I saw Mega Man 3.
Yes.
NES to SNES. And I was like, well, that's cool. But at the same time, it's like...
It's kind of weird. It sounds like it's running on the NES engine, but with 16-bit graphics. Like, I'm not really sure how it works, so...
Yeah, it's really confusing. It doesn't sound like it's definitely not like a from the ground remake.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know what that's about. And that's honestly, that's not really what, like, if I want to play Mega Man 3, I'd rather play it on NES. I don't really care about playing it on Super right. Nintendo, to be honest.
Right.
But yeah, that's where I get my news on that stuff.
Gotcha.
Is from that site. What do you got?
What do I got?
Let's hear it. We will judge you.
Oh, please do. Yeah. Well, for NES, it's kind of a cheat also because my best answers kind of already happened. So, like, Mario 3 did get a Super Nintendo port, you know?
It did.
And, like, Kirby's Adventure eventually got a Game Boy Advance port, which is basically Super Nintendo.
It did.
So I guess what I would like to see, he does say remake, I would like to see Zelda 2 get a proper remake. Where maybe they make some of the dungeons a little less obtuse and maybe make the whole game a little less grindy, But otherwise, it's a very solid foundation of a game, and it's not bad at all, but I understand why people bounce off of it. So I'd like to see it remade in a way to make it a little more new user friendly, I guess.
I would love that.
Good answer.
I would love for there to be just an entire 2D Zelda franchise. Mm. It makes me sad that there's a top-down Zelda franchise. Yeah. There's a 3D open world Zelda franchise, but there's not a 2D Zelda franchise.
Oh, get yourself a CDI, friend.
That laugh did not sound sincere.
It sounded it's rough sinister. It's rough out there. It's a lot of money for a little bit of fun, but it is interesting.
That's not going to pass for a good game, though, fella.
Nah, interesting's fun. I like interesting, but yeah, you can only get so many miles out of those.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are good. That's a good answer, Ty. What about
the D-make?
Oh yeah, you've answered both. Or no, have you answered both? No, you've still got your D-make.
I don't really have a D-make that I can, like, again, going back to the pirate cartridges, they did D-make some things, and it was interesting to see how they tried to do it. So there is like a Donkey Kong Country on the NES, but it only ends like half a level in, like.
I've seen that.
Yeah, they just want to sell the thing, and then that it's only half a level. Yeah. They don't care.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Yeah. And I do believe somebody did a Super Mario World on the NES, and I just from the technical standpoint to see how they did that is kind of cool. I don't really have a good answer for that one.
Yeah, it's a hard one for me too, because I think Super Nintendo games are Super Nintendo games because we were trying to get as far away from the NES as possible at that point, so kind of makes sense. Yeah. But
well, I just looking through my list of Super Nintendo games, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing a Mario RPG on 8-bit.
Mm.
It wouldn't have to
be
pre-rendered.
That'd
be
cool.
Do it like the Final Fantasy, you know, just sprite art style. That would be kind of neat.
I think that's a really cool idea.
You can have it, Trav.
Just replace. It'd be super easy to flip the sprites. Just do the exact same presentation. Just put Mario, Bowser, Peach. You'd have to drop a 2D squarey looking Geno and Mallow guys up there. But that's a really cool idea. I like that.
Yeah, good answer. I was actually going to say maybe a Zombies Ate My Neighbors, just to see what it'd be like, you know? Even if they had to make certain levels just platformers, what would it be like?
That would work too, because you could cram more levels into it, because you could just like make it more arcadey, make it more, you know what I mean? Like make it shrink the levels a bit, shrink everything down a little bit, and just make it that much more brutal, make it that much more insane, make it that much more difficult, make it like 400 levels or something like that, because there are people out there that love that kind of stuff. So that's a good idea too. I'm not gonna let go of that Mario RPG D-make though. That would be awesome. Like I'm picturing the old like Super Mario Brothers, like the pathetic looking Mario where he's like brown and orange. like him, and you know, like the original Mario Brothers, like in there, like who wouldn't love that? I feel like that would be like a big hit, but yeah, I would play it too. But yeah,
awesome. Well, and my answer for NES game that I would like to see a Super Nintendo remake of, The Guardian Legend. It's got shoot 'em up. It's got top down. Ooh. I think that'd be really neat to see that
quality.
Update.
That is good.
Quality, yeah, for sure. You could add a lot of stuff too,
and just update the cover art because it's not selling anybody with just squinty eyes in the distance. No one knows what that is.
It looks like a WCW pay-per-view, like Bash at the Beach kind of a thing.
The Ultimate
like,
Warrior
promotional
is that who
thing
that is?
Or something. Yeah, it's like it's no. I was thinking like Vader, and then there's like British Bulldog out in the beach, like flexing or something, and it's like. This looks stupid, but yeah, as long as you use the Japanese art for that game instead of the North American art, I think that would work.
Yeah. Yeah, even the PAL art, way better.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go, Weedo. Thanks for the question. Hopefully those answers inspired you to make one of those suggestions on your own. We're looking forward to it.
Hey, this is Brian from the Off Kilter Podcast. Join me and professional comedians Travis and Kevin as we talk about whatever's on our minds and have a few laughs along the way. Find us at polymedianetwork.com. That's Off Kilter with two L's. And don't forget to check out our back catalog of timeless episodes. Right at the buzzer.
So, I guess I got this next letter. That is a letter for Mailbox by Robert Auguste Meyer.
All right.
A friend. We have not heard from this guy in a long time.
Been a while, Robert.
Hello, Robert. Hello, Robert. And he says, he starts this email with saying, Guidhag? Is that how you say pronounce that? Guidhag?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Everyone's trying to impress us with their global awareness of words, and I'm not standing for it.
Trav, I'm trying to impress you with the fact that I like went to Google Pronounce like 3 days ago to try and and this is what I remember from 3 days ago.
I'm impressed.
That's Dutch though, isn't it?
We'd have to ask Guido. I don't know.
Have to ask Google. We gotta ask Guido. Or ask Google too. But he says, I'm guessing Guidhag, Trav and Alex. And he says, when arguing with Sega Genesis fanboys, one of their most common arguments is how their system was able to create more frantic action games like Gunstar Heroes or just anything developed by Treasure. What would you say are the 13 most frantic Super Nintendo action games? And can they hold a candle to Sega's offering? Free Palestine, Robert Auguste Meyer.
He's trying to get his own like SNES drunk video out of this podcast.
He's just showing he pays attention. Yeah,
I love this guy, so he's great. I actually had to like read this and sit down and think for a second because he's right. There really aren't that many.
I got like one answer.
Just crazy Super Nintendo frantic action games. You have to lean into imports. You have to lean into the Japanese-only games. There's one game called Rendering Ranger R2. That's a half run-and-gun, half shoot-em-up, where you start the game. It's like Contra. You're a dude on the ground, hopping, jumping, running around, shooting stuff. And then you get into your ship, and you shoot stuff. And then you're back, and blah, blah, blah. That is a frantic game. In the same vein, there's also shoot 'em ups like Space Megaforce. Aero Fighters is a really good one that performs really well on Super Nintendo hardware, especially with the second player, and there's no slowdown there. There's more imports for shoot 'em ups like Macross Scrambled Valkyrie. But once you get out of shoot 'em ups, not a whole lot. I mean, then you're leaning into stuff like Kirby Superstar.
Right.
That's kind of a frantic game, especially when you get a second player, because you got so many like flashing things and colors all over the place. It's not even that fast action. It's just like kind of unpredictable, I guess is what I'd call the game. You could also throw like Super Bomberman in there. The later games in that, especially the imports in that series, get really crazy, where it's hard to keep track of what's going on. I know that's not really what he's asking for, but the only other game that comes to mind that he's asking for is Metal Warriors. One of my favorite games that I really dove into the past year. So much fun. Made by LucasArts. They even brought the the lightsaber aspect of from Luke Skywalker over to their mech warriors to this game as like a thing. I don't know if I'm making sense right now. I have to watch my words. But yeah, it's basically Metal Warriors was made by LucasArts, and the mechs in Metal Warriors can use lightsabers. And it's like, yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Good answers. I think you're leaving off one very obvious choice, though.
What's that?
Frantic Flea. Very frantic.
Oh, Lord.
Very frantic.
Man. Oh, man.
It's in the title. It's in the title.
Oh, man. Did you just go to the Wikipedia page for listing every single Super Nintendo game and Control F frantic?
I am aware of this game, but yes, I also did what you said.
It was right next to Family Dog. That's the only way he knew about it.
Yeah. I did. Oh, I started with Family Dog, and I was like, not frantic
family
enough.
Family Dog reference. Oh my god.
Yeah, that one. I will admit, not a very frantic game. That's more of a sip of wine. That's a casual, classy time. Family Dog, you know. But I don't know, Top, you have any others?
The only one I have really is Contra 3.
Yeah, that's busy.
Oh, yeah. But you can come back with that argument with Contra Hardcore. Oh,
yeah.
It's more frantic, blah, blah, blah. But yep.
And probably true, yeah.
I would agree with you on that. The only other frantic game I would say that I've left out is probably, if I had to guess at my own thoughts, is probably Ken Griffey Jr. Okay. Presents Major League Baseball. That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah,
only one I can think of. Only
makes
one.
Sense to me.
So, but other than that,
and for those playing along at home, you drink every time you mentioned it. So
it's weird that Drunk Friend doesn't. We haven't like established a drinking game. I guess that's for other people to do for you. But I'm
right.
Yeah, if you're listening at home, take a sip, or if you're driving, go ahead and take a sip. As long as it's you know, a driving safe beverage. Thank you, Robert Auguste De Meyer, as always, for just a lovely email. Love hearing from you. Alex, I would really like to read this long email, if you don't mind. I'm excited for it.
Would that be
cool? So do you want to go ahead and read this other one from Adam? Just dropped some kindness on us, which I just love.
Oh, sure, yeah. We love getting these emails, too, of course. We got an email from Adam that just says, thanks. Just wanted to say thanks for everything you guys do. Enjoy the drinks and games. Adam. It's like, hey,
thanks, Adam.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We appreciate you. That's really cool. We want to shout you out for saying that to us.
And he would have included you, Top, if he knew you'd be here. He didn't know. But
that's okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Adam's a pretty cool guy. I bet he would have.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, he seems swell. But all right, we got this big email here, and I've read this one today. I was pretty excited for it. So it says, this is from one who goes by Beets, and that is the vegetable, B-E-E-T-S. Titled Doom Mods and Hokey Tailgates. Right, that gets me jazzed. It says, greetings, Trav and Alex. Once again, he would have said also Top if he knew. But he says, I've recently been rediscovering your podcast, and I got to say, I really love what you guys do. I was actually one of your first listeners and members of the Polymedia Discord during the pandemic, but had to leave for personal, non-Polymedia related reasons. Coming back years later, it's incredible how you guys have maintained your relaxed but electric chemistry. Electric, that's I don't know if it's electric.
The
but,
most
okay.
electrifying podcast in the retro gaming realm today.
I think it's just editing magic. I'm going to take credit for our electric chemistry. He says, while refining your rapport and skills as podcast host, it's also good to know that Trav has not lost his love of terrible, terrible, awful segues and jokes to Alex's eternal chagrin. Never change Trav. Now, I want to back up a little bit because I do remember this person being in the Discord. And I also remember when they left our Discord, and it was very early on in the Discord's life. We had very few people, and it was at a point where you could tell when someone came and left. And I always wondered what happened to this person. So I was so thankful that we got an email updating us that, one, they are alive, and two, they're not mad at us. They just took a break, and they're back emailing us and keeping up with the show. So that was wonderful. Big reason I wanted to read this one. So I appreciate hearing from you, Beets. Glad you're all right. Also, he used to post the cutest dog in our pet pic section, and I missed that, Pop. Hope it's okay. But anyway, he goes on with the email. He says, I have a few questions for both of you, so I'll start with Alex. All right, Alex, you're on the hot seat. You ready for this?
No.
All right. He says, Alex.
Let me
let you do what? What do you got, stretch?
Let me... No, I'm ready. Okay, he's asking me about Doom.
Okay, all right, here we go. Get your Doom pants on. It's ready. It's time. He says, you have said at various points that Doom 2 is your favorite first-person shooter. I played Doom 2 for the first time 2 years ago and haven't been able to put it down. It's such an elegant, arcadey, stripped-down version of a nearly perfect action game. I just love its cartoony violence and straightforward approach to level design and exploration and surprisingly complex but easy-to-understand combat. I was wondering if you've ever looked into any of the fan-made level packs the Doom modding community has made over the years. I'm not talking about gameplay mods like Brutal Doom, but the sets of new levels with new environments, textures, and music. The community has put out some incredible work with level packs that truly feel like their own, fully realized worlds with electric, much like our podcast, electric but accessible combat that far outdoes that of the original game, both in quality and action. If not, I've linked the soundtrack and a map-by-map review of one of the objective best ones there is, Ancient Aliens, which immediately makes me think of Discovery Channel and the dude with the wild hair. He says, if I get more folk to play Ancient Aliens, I'll have done my part. Not a plug that I get anything from, I just think it's awesome and beautiful, and it has that wonderful 90s flair in its spirit and gameplay. If you choose to play it, you will need a modern source port to do so. So, Alex, are you familiar with these Doom 2 mods, and what's your experience with this stuff?
Not a whole lot. I was always cool with just vanilla Doom 2. Excuse me. Okay, I gotta take a sip of water. Sorry.
Don't die. Don't die now. You're doing great.
No.
Okay, he's dead. Damn it.
No, it's like Bob Ross says, my tongue gets over my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying. So, it's Ancient Aliens. I've heard of it. I can tell you that I'm acquaintances with people that delve into this universe, and Ancient Aliens is one of those that like gets casually referenced as one of the ones that are the best. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know what I mean? Like it's thrown out as like, oh, it's no Ancient Aliens, but blah, blah, blah. So it's not something that I have a lot of personal experience with, but I've heard a lot about it. When's the last time I played Doom 2? I can't even remember. I haven't scratched an FPS itch in a really long time, but yeah, I'd like to, if you know, there's only so much time
yeah.
in the world, but it would be nice to I guess now I'm really thankful for this email, because now I get to have a endorsement directed to me saying, hey, go play this. So I will do that. Are these called Doom Wads? I'm curious about that.
They used to be.
Okay. I don't know if they still are, but yeah. But if it's a thing applied to an older Doom game, if it's like I guess what would the Super Nintendo equivalent of a ROM hack? It's a WAD for a DOS game, I guess. I don't know. But I don't speak that language. I'm not familiar with it. I sound like I'm embarrassing myself.
It's at this point that I'm glad we don't have a comment section. I'll say that.
Yeah, WADs. No, I just don't. I haven't had time. I don't know. I don't know enough about that kind of stuff. So
cool.
Sorry to disappoint, but at least I have something to get into. It sounds really awesome, though, especially if it's like, because there are some certain levels in Doom 2 that are no thanks. Like, I skip them. Yeah, that's what the cheat codes are there for, right? It's IDKFA, ID whatever, ID Cornholio, ID whatever. But there are certain levels when I go back, I skip them. Like, not this level. I hate this level.
Yeah.
But,
I didn't watch the review that he linked, but I did listen to little bits of the soundtrack that he linked, and it was phenomenal.
I did too, yeah. That freaking sound great. Yeah, that sounded awesome. So, hell yeah.
I think I'm going to drop a link to the soundtrack in the show notes just so other people can be indoctrinated. If the soundtrack alone doesn't haul you in, I don't know what can do it.
It's excellent, yeah. I was really surprised by that. But yeah, I hope to have time to dive into that world. That's the thing. It's never just one thing when you get into that. It's like, oh, I'll just play one Doom WAD. I'll just play this one. You know, it's like I'll just do one. After doing all this work to get this to work, I'm only going to play one? It's like, no, I'm going to play like 6 or 7. I'm going to play like 10. I'm going to go to a website and seek out all the best. I'm going to play 10 more. It's like, I'm sorry. I just don't have time to do that. So that's just how it is. I'm sorry, but
gonna get that Doomed Drunk channel going. Can't wait for that spin. What about you, Top Spot? You got any experience with this stuff, or do you have any experience with Doom 2?
Yeah, I mean, just from when it released.
So you are a doomer boomer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Played it on my first PC.
You were just waiting for that.
The thing I most remember about Doom is you could either boot into DOS or Windows, but if you wanted to play Doom, you couldn't go into Windows because it used up all the memory. And so you'd have to reboot the PC and not go into Windows so you could boot up Doom. It was, yeah.
You know, the old boot disk.
Yep. Good times. Good. Actually, not good times. I don't know why I said that. That was awful for everybody. Very bad when you got a game and your dad also didn't know how to get it to work. And you and your dad are just standing there like, I guess we got to call. You remember Ernie, who I used to work with? He has a computer. He might know how to get it to work. Let me call him. And then you're up until 10:30 and your dad's trying to figure out how to just get a game he bought for you to work. And it's just, it was painful. Good bonding, though, I guess. But here's a question, Alex, that I think you could answer from Beats. He says, as a former New Mexican myself, I have to know green or red chili, or does it depend on the dish?
Of course it depends on the dish. You got to go red for enchiladas, carne asada, mashed potatoes. Red is good for certain stuff. Green, I would say it's like green 75, red 25. Green is great for like burgers, especially like, oh man, like a good breakfast burrito with green chili. You can't beat that. You just can't. Red is good for like specific things, like a good red chili enchilada. I'm honestly like, it's sacrilege to say this in New Mexico because that's like the one thing outside of Breaking Bad that we're famous for. Is green chili, but red chili is kind of my jam. Like, I really like it. Like, I love a good red chili enchilada. It's top notch. Just let me chow down on that. Give me a pile of like 12 tortillas with like nothing but cheese and red chili. Hell yeah. Dude,
you got me.
Bring it.
You got me turned up over here. Yeah.
Bring it.
I haven't had dinner yet. I'm so hungry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say I'm sorry.
Sorry. Sorry, Tom. I'm sorry. I don't know if you have anything to add to the chili conversation, Tom.
I go green mostly. I don't even know why I like it more. But yeah, a little salsa verde, a little green. Good stuff.
Top, what is your like local, without giving too much away about where you're from, but like what is your local food thing that is divisive among people?
There is not one. I live in the dead center of the belly button of the middle of nowhere. There is nothing here that we are divisive about.
Okay, so when people go to Walmart, what do they get?
Yeah, packaged frozen food. What do you...
America!
Yeah, basically, yeah. So, I mean, I guess the pineapple on pizza debate hits us too, but yeah, there's nothing like that around here.
Well, let's go with that then. What do you think about pineapple on pizza?
What you know what? I'm opposed to it, but I've never tried it, so I'm not the type to completely take a stand when I don't know.
I love that answer. That's I'm opposed to it staunchly. I've never tried it, but I will not allow this to continue. Top, I'm curious now. I love talking about food.
Yeah.
What is your like go-to weird food that is hard? Your favorite thing that's hardest to explain to somebody else? Like maybe you put like cinnamon on popcorn. Maybe you do something weird. Yeah. Like what's your thing?
Okay, see, I can only share of other people. I am the most average person. I eat mostly normal stuff, but my best friend liked peanut butter on hot dogs, and my wife likes to make spaghetti sandwiches out of leftover spaghetti.
Now that I could get behind. Get a little garlic bread.
Yeah. That sounds good.
I mean, I don't. Yeah, there's no problem with it, but that's what she likes, and so she does it.
I like it too.
I don't eat anything abnormal.
I don't like that first thing you said about the hot dogs and the pizza. That sounds like a Limp Bizkit album.
No,
I don't like that very much.
That sounds terrible. But spaghetti sandwiches, hell yeah. You just put some butter on each piece of bread. That's quality.
Maybe a little garlic. I don't know.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But, yeah, the other thing,
Hey, I don't know about that. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Just the idea of it just sounds like a euphemism, and I don't like it. I don't like it. Not on this podcast. This is clean, family-friendly stuff. Beats goes on. The beat goes on. he says, Trav, this is for me and for everybody. We're all having a good time. He says, what's been the hardest NES friend to write and produce? Maybe not the hardest game necessarily. It could be a game that was just painfully boring. I find those worse sometimes. Gumshoe looked painful. Now, I'll say Gumshoe felt painful. It's a lot of clicking the trigger on the NES light gun. Not as, you know, it's a lot of resistance on that thing. It's kind of hard to keep snap, 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 snap. Kind of hard to keep shooting on it. So that one was literally painful, but a fun one to write and produce. But worst ones, I don't know. Sometimes the worst ones are just games that are just middle of the road, and it's just hard to find anything fun to make fun of, and there's nothing great about the game to really, like, showcase, and at some point I'm just like, why am I doing this? Those happen a lot. But honestly, I think the ones that are most tedious to me are the ones that come with expectation. Like when I did the Guardian Legend, we just talked about it. I was like, man, people like this game, and if I fuck up, they're going to be so mad. I got to know this one inside and out. I can't phone it in like I did for MiG-29. No one's going to check me on that. Guardian Legend, people are going to be ready to fight.
Yeah, they might be.
Absolutely.
Do you feel that way when you do that, Alex? When you're like, okay, this game's got a fan base. I have to maybe do a little bit better of a job making sure I got all the details right than I normally would.
It's paralyzing. It's a paralyzing feeling where it's just like, that's the worst thing as a writer, where it's just like, you have a blank screen in front of you and you know what you want to write about. You've got notes that you can go by, but it's like, And I've got like an outline of how I want this structured roughly. And then it comes time to write and I'm just sitting there like, if I don't do this right, this is going to be a shit show. Yeah. So I need to, you know, that adds up after a while. And after X amount of years, it gets harder to motivate yourself to do that again and again and again. You know what I mean? Like, it's like it's important to keep reminding myself, like, there's a reason I started this in the first place. It was a long time ago, but it was, it did happen. But yeah, I get what you're saying, where there's a lot of pressure there, and it has nothing to do with like, making the video good necessarily. It's just all about like checking all the boxes.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's like creating a checklist of all the important things. And there are many, many, many videos, you know, and I've made over 800 of them where I did not check all the boxes.
You forgot to mention.
That's fine. Like, there are some people that pop in that are like, you didn't mention this trivial fact that does not matter. It's like, In a lot of instances, like I see that stuff or I read that stuff and I'm just like, that's not relevant to anything. Like, that's just trivia. Like, that's not trivia. Trivia does not matter to the basic bones of the game unless it's like really interesting or unless it's like something that I can like build off of to lead into something else or, you know, just writing bullshit that I get behind. But it's not fun going down that rabbit hole sometimes. Sometimes it is fun because you get to find all sorts of other stuff, and that makes writing like that, you know, it's more engaging and that sort of, and you get excited about how people are going to react. But most of the time you have your guard up and you're just like, It's almost like you're defensive as a writer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's like you're writing for the people who aren't going to like it. It's like, wait a minute, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah. But you kind of have to pacify like a certain crowd before you can even feel good enough about having fun with the narrative or the script, because you're like, this is going to be miserable if I don't point out these things. And which is, I guess, is good. It keeps you kind of honest, but at the same time it's like, I don't do this. I do this for fun. I don't have to skirt around people's emotions just to talk about a video game.
Yeah. hedge every sentence.
Yeah. I'm curious, though, Tom, since you do something very different than Alex and I do, with the videos that you've done in the past, what were some that stuck out to you as being just like painful to put together or to get footage for or to record and all that? Do any stick out?
Well, it's a lot like Alex said about writing the script. Like, I have to hit points A through X or whatever, but like, what is the narrative journey to get there? Because like, each of these little subsections like stand alone, so it's hard to make it so it flows into a good, you know, narrative video where it carries you from the beginning to the end. And that's what I struggle with the most. And also, like, I'm just a guy trying things out, right? But I don't want it to come off like I'm an expert at any of this, because I'm just making stuff up and sharing it is all I'm doing. But sometimes I'm looked at to be like an expert, or like, you know, and I'm never try to portray myself as knowing everything at all. But I'm just sharing what I did learn. I don't know. It just gets tough, so it makes you second guess yourself.
Yeah, and I
definitely,
this wasn't specifically the question, but one thing that happens to me sometimes that sucks is that I'll pick a game, and I do use a randomizer. I think I've talked about that before, just to kind of select the game for me, or else I get like decision paralysis. But I'll choose a game to cover, and I'll go through the steps of doing a little bit of research. I'll read the manual. I'll play the game. And then at some point when I'm putting the script together, I'll find out, because I tend to like to put games that are grouped together in a franchise or connected in the same video. Because a lot of these games are really, there's not enough to talk about to make them all individual videos, right? So try to like pack as much of the same sort of idea into the same video. And something like Kung Fu Heroes that I wanted to cover, I played it. It was great. I wrote a script about it. And like almost right before I was getting ready to put the video together, I looked it up and I was like, oh, this is connected to Little Ninja Brothers and some other game that was just on the Famicom. So then I kind of had to like trash the script and kind of make room for all these other things. And I was like, damn it. And that happens a lot where I'm like, oh, this will be easy. I'll just do a quick video on the Fist of the North Star on the NES and look it up. It's got like 4 entries on the Famicom. And I'm like, well, I kind of like to include those two, but goddamn, so much.
I can identify with that even this week, because I want to do a video about all the Bonk games on TurboGrafx-16. Hmm? Well, it turns out there's like 5 of them,
Shit. Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, I love the first Bonk game. It's a lot of fun. I love Air Zonk.
the two versions of Bonk 3 are different, the CD and the Hue card.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. And you got to differentiate between those. Mm-hmm.
Or I will call you out.
Yeah. Well, you better, because I deserve it for not like doing it properly. And that's the other thing that bothers me is like, if you don't do it the right way, you don't point out the right exact freaking things that are different. It's like,
well, I will say like, you know, I'm relying on you to be the resource, and I know they're different, but I don't know how they're different. I want you to tell me. I want you to dig into it, figure it out, and let me know. Yeah, that's what I'm watching for, you know?
For 100%, yeah. I want to point out the biggest differences. I don't want to point out every difference.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing, is like, you get the people that want you to point out every difference. And yep. It's like,
this isn't an encyclopedic video. Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't make for good content. That makes for just like, why don't I just sit here and read a Wikipedia article to you? You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make for a good voiceover. That doesn't make for a good video. So I get what you're, totally. I get what you're saying, but it's just like, Bonk. It's like, I that's so much work. God. Yeah, I transitioned real quick this week to like, let me do a Switch game instead. I really wanted to do a Bonk video this week, and I'm just like, oh, this is way more than I thought. All right, let's go to what's available on Switch that I can take a look at.
Yeah, it happens. All right, I'll move on to the next half of this very lengthy email from Beats. He says, number 2, and this one spoke to me directly. He says, as a former Hokie, Virginia Tech Hokie. Some of my happiest memories of my early 20s are going to tailgates and getting buzzed with barbecue and beer with my buddies from the physics and materials science departments near the obstacle course close to the duck pond. I don't know if you're not local, you don't know what he just said, but I know the address to, I know the light pole nearest where he's talking about. Very intimate with that area. He says, I'm not much of a sports guy, but it's hard to resist the energy of game day in Blacksburg. It's a special buzz unlike anything else, even when we lose, which is often, I might add. I may live in the Pacific Northwest now, but Tech, like New Mexico, will always be in my heart. My question is, do you have any crazy tailgate stories, embarrassing or glorious? If you have to withhold details so your wife doesn't put you in the doghouse, I understand. Wink. And yeah, I'll take that one from here. So my wife doesn't listen to this, so that won't matter. but I don't really have anything too embarrassing. And I think a beautiful thing about the Tech, on occasion I have been so drunk at a tailgate that I forgot to go to the game, or I forgot there was a game. I was like, oh shit, this is a great picnic. Oh, that's right, football was the reason I was here. And then I have to sleep in my car until midnight so I can sober up enough to drive the 4 miles home because I was too drunk to walk. But one thing that I remember being more glorious than anything was that a buddy of mine and I, amongst our close friends and tailgating friends, he and I were the best tandem at cornhole. That's a game we're all familiar with, right? That's not regional specific. Cornhole, throws some bags of corn at a hole on a board, right? We got that everywhere, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So he and I thought we were pretty good at it. And we entered this tournament in the city next to us on a Saturday. It was the same. So Tech had a game that night. So our plan was we go up at 9 a.m., which is when the tournament was. It was like 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'd participate in this tournament, and then we'd go tailgate and celebrate our victory that we thought we'd get. And then we would have a football game to look forward to. It was going to be a great day. And so we go up to this tournament, and not realizing that it's like a regional qualifier for a national tournament, it costs $50 to get into. From that day forward, I never going to pay to play cornhole ever again. $50 was a lot to get just obliterated off the face of the earth by people who took this very, very seriously. We did win one game. It was against two guys who one was blind and the other one I don't think had ever seen a cornhole board before, and they still almost beat us. They were still very good. But we got one victory, and then we got obliterated. So we're a little salty. We're like, damn, we're out $50 and our pride's hurt, and we have to go to a tailgate. Well, we go to this tailgate and we set up cornhole boards, and we're on the same team. We're just kind of like talking about like, what happened today, man? We just weren't feeling it. We got obliterated. And then we put on a clinic of cornhole for the next 8 hours to where we went 37-0. We almost didn't go to the football game because people were still lining up to play us. It was insane. So I had like, I was like, where was this morning when I dropped $50? And of course, this is against like people that are drunk, you know, in full of sausage walking around Blacksburg's campus. But like, it was good to kind of be like, you know what? I'm not dog shit at this. I'm just not professional. And that's okay. That's Dave Matthews, you know? So
what does that mean?
You know, he's all right. If you're drunk, Dave Matthews is fine. But, you know, I don't know what point I'm trying to make, to be honest, but it felt good to rack it up. It was a good time. Legends were born that day. But then he says to both of you, and Top as well, what are you drinking? I enjoyed a good Tullamore Dew Old Fashioned last night. That sounds delicious. I just have water because it's hot in my basement. What are you guys drinking?
Top, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, just tap water. Just trying to keep the whistle wet.
Got to keep that whistle moist. Alex, what do you got going on? Your tap water sounds like it's rough tonight. What do you got?
Arrogant Bastard Ale from Stone. That's my go-to. And then there's also Bushnell's Whiskey.
Oh, you double fisted her over there.
No, I did one after the other. I know they always say beer... what's the saying? Before whiskey, beer after whiskey before beer.
I think I liquor might be the word because I don't think you could write like beer before whiskey. You got a fun disky. Like I don't know if that's
makes you pretty frisky.
Yeah,
there you go. Pretty frisky.
Yeah, excellent. I think it's liquor before beer in the clear. Beer before liquor, never been sicker. I think.
I don't abide by that. It doesn't work for me like that.
I think it's all about pace.
Yeah,
But I think that's the thing. Like, if you drink liquor like you had been drinking beer earlier, you might put down way more liquor than you think.
That's, I think you're get. I think you nailed it there, because I if you drink liquor like you're drinking beer, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and after you've had a few beers and you're used to bending that elbow at a certain rate, you get in trouble.
John, that guy's elbows rate is way up there. You know, you got to watch him and his elbow rate. Way out of line. He's going to go down and down and down. He's going to be out of commission tomorrow.
His SPMs, his sips per minute, are out of just outrageous.
Out of control. By God, it's not going to look good.
All right. And then Beats closes it out. He says, adore what you guys do. Let's get this baby to 200 episodes. I agree. Let's shoot for that and then quit. He says, best Beats. He says, P.S. Could I get... Now, Alex, come on. Wet your whistle real quick. You're put on the spot here. He says, can I get a slow Macho Man buildup turning into James Hetfield from Alex? Can we get that? Can we hear that?
By the way, he didn't say James Hetfield in the original email. You changed that.
I did for his sake. He did say Chris Hetfield. I didn't know who that was. I changed it to James Hetfield because I know who James Hetfield is. Chris Hetfield, was that an actor? I think it was a typo.
I don't know who Chris... I was hoping he was just some made-up guy, like his childhood friend from high school or something. But do I really? Okay.
Yeah, of course you do.
Okay. So I need a premise, though. Can you guys give me a premise? What should this be about?
Sure. Let's get a word from the audience. Top. What's the last thing you bought from Amazon?
A head strap for my Quest 3 VR thing.
All right, head strap for VR, Macho Man.
What the fuck is
that? Yeah, that's a bad one.
Come on, talk about it. You just picked one up. What's Macho Man got to say about VR and head straps?
It's going to take me a minute to wrap my head around. Okay.
Well, let me tell you something. Yeah, you got your head strap. Yeah, you got the head strap. Where did you get it from? You didn't get it from anywhere. You got it from Amazon. Yeah. God. If you get it from Amazon, you get it from the worst place you could possibly get it. Yeah. And if you get it from Amazon, then you get it from the worst place in the world. Yeah, you didn't get him from the world champion, the Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah, this is the man that is the best world heavyweight champion that has ever been. Yeah, that is how it is, and that's how it's going to be. Yeah, but when I turn it over to my friend, Mr. Hetfield, yeah, he's going to know what the best headband is. Yeah, yeah. Best headband. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Thank you, James and Macho Man, for that. Are you all right, Alex? I can imagine you have...
Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got.
Your temples are pulsating. I can imagine your face is red right now. You're sweating.
Actually, doing slow Macho Man is kind of fun.
Dude, it was great.
I get to build up a little bit.
Yeah. Honestly, anything you say in that voice is amazing to me. I just...
the little slight inflections is like dead on.
It's so good. It is so good. Oh, man.
Listen, I watched a lot of wrestling when I was a kid, and I watched a lot of Metallica videos when I was a kid. So got a lot of that stuff. So thank you for saying that.
I'm always suggesting spinoffs to SNES Drunk, but I think Macho Drunk just reviewing anything like headbands or anything off of Amazon would be just
reading
best.
Amazon reviews.
That would be incredible. Oh my God, I'd lose my shit.
Oh. This next thing we have here, I completely forgot that I even put here.
Are you ready to some power rankings for Trader Joe's food?
Should I do them like as Macho Man or something? But,
nah, I think you can do them as Alex O'Man.
Oh, okay. thank you for saving my throat, which needs a break. Yeah, sometimes I just like get these sheets or, you know what? I create these sheets.
You do.
And
thank you.
I'm like, what can I add to these that is not already here besides emails and comments and whatever else. can I put what else can I put on here that is even the most marginally interesting? So what was on my mind at that point was, what are my favorite top five items from Trader Joe's? Do you guys go to Trader Joe's? Man. Top, do you go to Trader Joe's?
I would love to, but I don't have one near me.
Sam, oh, okay. We both live in the middle of nowhere. I got to go 2 hours to see Joe. It's tough.
Same here. But my brother and sister-in-law, they do get me Trader Joe gifts for Christmas. So whatever kind of mint cookie they have around that time, that is one of my Christmas gifts from them.
Did you get the... Let me guess. Did you get the cookie tin from Trader Joe's?
No, they're in this year it was like little chocolate mint stars, which were okay. In the past, it's been like Oreo type cookies.
Oh, you got
cookies.
The stars. Okay.
Yeah. Things like that.
You liked them though, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right, okay. So I just want everybody on board here to say that Trader Joe's has some great snacks, some great like stuff that you can just throw in your air fryer, throw in your whatever it is, your oven, and they have some tremendous stuff. Number five. Okay, so this is the top five things you can get from Trader Joe's. Number five, the vegetable samosas. Do you know what samosas are?
Amen, brother.
Yeah, they're excellent. Course. The Trader Joe's ones are fantastic. They're not too like greasy, not too like messy. They're very easy to eat. You can eat a lot of them. That's wonderful. Number four, beef and broccoli.
Beef and broccoli? You think they got a beef and broccoli that stands out?
No, this is what you get in a bag when you go to Trader Joe's. You get a bag of beef and broccoli. You just put the beef in a pan. Or actually, no. The way it works, you put the broccoli in a pan first. You melt it from being frozen. And then you throw the beef. You empty the pan into... I don't know. I don't want to sit here and like tell you guys how to cook stuff. But
you love talking about food.
I guess I am. But like the beef and broccoli is delicious because it's really easy to make and it's wonderful to eat. It lasts at least three, 4 days. It's excellent. I love it. Number three, this is the orange chicken, the easiest thing in the world to make. All you got to do is throw out a saucepan. Throw the sauce in there.
Mm-hmm.
Heat it up. Throw the chicken in a pan. Heat it up. Done. You're done. You have delicious orange chicken. You just mix it up in a bowl. Mm. You're done. And that will last like 3 days. That's excellent. Excellent food.
I like that part of this is how long it lasts. I think that's a quality a lot of people don't get when they think about.
That's what I've lived by my whole life. Number two, peanut butter filled pretzels.
Oh, I'm with you on
classic. Second best snack at Trader Joe's. You can't go wrong with these. I can't be trusted amongst a bag because I will eat.
Yeah, because unfortunately, those only last a night. Like, it doesn't matter how many. They're so good.
Doesn't matter how big the bag is. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. And then number one. I think this is the best snack in the world, dried mango. Dried mango.
Interesting choice.
I love dry. Here's the thing. I'm one of those freaks that loves raisins.
I love raisins. Raisin Bran, two scoops? Fucking give me three scoops, Raisin Bran. What are you holding back? As I've always said that. Less bran.
Top, what's your opinion on dried fruit?
Oh, yeah. No, I get fried mango or dried mango, in some of the trail mix that I like to buy. I don't necessarily buy the dried fruit on its own, but I like it in my trail mixes.
Nice. I love it. I can honestly say I've never had a trail mix with dried mango. I would be delighted if I could find that.
Banana slices and that. Yeah. It's like a tropical.
Oh,
it's really
that's
good.
So good. You started it by saying fried mango, and I would love to try fried mango. That would be wonderful.
Why not?
But dried mango, I could eat that all day, every day. It's so delicious. It checks all the boxes. It's chewy. It's sweet. It's like it gets your mouth watering as you're chewing it. Like, just give me all the dried mango in the world. It's my favorite. Not only is it my favorite snack today, it's been my favorite snack. Let's see, going back to like 2015. So, and it will continue to be my favorite snack for the foreseeable future. That's where I stand.
Do you have a spreadsheet of favorite snacks and like when the title?
I know
was
you
changed
love
over?
Spreadsheets.
Like since 2015, returning That's snack right. champion. Dried mango.
Yeah, I have them square off each other in like simulated AI wrestling matches, and dried mango has won for 6 years straight, 7 years, 8 years straight, and it's the betting favorite to win next year by +400. So
wow,
we will see what happens next year unless Trader Joe's comes out. I'm telling you, Trader Joe's and snack food, unbelievable, unbelievable.
They do good. They do great work.
Yes, they do excellent work.
Yeah.
Hey there, Polymedia. It's your old pal Kevin from Uncle Doug's DVD Bin, and boy howdy, have I got some good news for you. A brand spanking new season. That's right, season 3. And guys, we've got it all. We've got action. We've got romance. We've got romantical action. That's right, it's happening too. And most importantly, we've got lots more Uncle Doug. You know, come to think of it, kind of reminds me what our Uncle Doug always says. Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
We got some YouTube comments here.
We do. Now, Top, did you bring any YouTube comments today?
I found a few. Nothing that's too out of sorts, because most of my comments are actually kind of either helpful or complimentary, so I don't nearly Same. Get the kinds of things that Alice gets. I brought a couple, yeah. but nothing too yeah. major.
Well, what you start us off here? What's one that's, sure. Give us one, yeah.
So right out of the gate, I've got like the duality of man. I made a video about the Switch spines we even talked about the last time I was on the show, where you can print new mm-hmm. spines for your Switch games to kind of have something different than just the red on the cover art. So the first guy, this is Billy1724, says, I talk in the video how it makes it easier to identify your games and find what you want to play. So he says, is ABC Order a joke to you? Never have trouble finding anything again with this one simple trick. They don't want you to know. But he put a couple laughing emojis, so he's just having fun. And then
ABC order is also a thing that no one says. No one's right. That's alphabetical yeah. order. That's what we say, yeah. right? ABC order.
And then right next to that, Midlife Crisis Media, our friend Chris, he says, that's a cool idea because them Switch spines are fugly. So it's just both sides of the coin with that.
Of course.
I mean, they're nice when they're uniform, but when you get like Super Bomberman R just hanging out in the middle looking like a piece of shit, that's what upsets me. Be the same.
It's the worst.
Don't stand out.
I got one more. I'm gonna let you read this one, Trav. I'm posting it in the Discord. Now, I get every now and then, I do have people all over the world comment, and sometimes I don't know the language, and I may have to run it through a translator. And this one, it took me looking at it several times to catch on to what is being said. So it's in the Discord now. Can you make sense out of that one? No context. That's the entire quote.
Kawe Banga?
Gotcha. Cowabunga. That's that was on
it. Oh, you made me say cowabunga. God damn it.
Yeah, sorry, I had to do it.
All right. Now we have to explain to Alex.
Yeah, I know.
Alex, there was a question on Polykill long ago that was like something along the lines of how many more. Now I have to kind of go off script to explain it. How many more?
You only have so many cowabungas till you die, basically.
Yeah, and so the whole thing is I can only say so many until I die, so I have to like hold back from saying that word, because if I use them all up, I'll perish.
Poof.
And so he's tricked me into saying, you said
cowabunga. But like I said, this commenter put it as two words, and yeah, I'm not familiar with it being portrayed that way.
Was it in reference to the Ninja Turtles when you got
it was a Ninja Turtle video, so okay. I imagine okay. that's what it was, yeah.
All right, well, that's making sense, man. You got me on that shit. You got me. You're trying to kill me out here.
You could say it's like a cow. No, I can't even spin this into somebody's name.
Cowab. cowabunga.
No, I can't. Right. It still sounds like cowabunga. Like it's like cowabanga. Like that still doesn't really work because it doesn't sound like somebody's name.
I mean, my best guess, actually, I think cowabunga might be like anglicized. This might be like the original, but I didn't really dig deep into it.
Oh, that's actually a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Has anybody tried Googling that spelling, which is K-A-W-E space B-A-N-G-G-A? Because I can't say it, I'll die.
Yeah, please don't say that, Trav.
Who would edit this? You got my ass. You got my ass. You made me say it.
Yeah.
That's an excellent
good
point.
Stuff. All right, so Alex, before we get out of here, I had an idea for a game because I don't like top. You know, I don't get a lot of fun comments all the time. You have a treasure trove of them, so I went back, dug through some of your old videos, found some comments, and I was going to see if I could read these comments. You could guess what video of yours they're from using some context clues from the comment itself. You up for the challenge?
No, there's no way I'm going to guess any of these.
I think you might. I think you have a good shot here because some of the comments are from you. So let's see.
Todd, I'd appreciate some help here. If you could be like the guy in my corner here, or at least like give me some hints at what you might think these games might be.
Like be as Andy Richter. Yeah. This first comment is from DT Dime Flick 6708. This is from 4 years ago. Says, I actually prefer the music from this one over the N64 remake. That and the animal grunts are a lot easier to listen to than the really cheesy voice acting. I feel like that's an underhanded softball.
You do?
You do? I got nothing.
A game you've covered that has an N64...
Can I ask if it is an SNES game?
Yes.
Can I ask that, and is it?
Yes. Yes and yes.
Okay.
You may.
All right.
You may. The yes. Yes, it is.
So it's an SNES game that has an N64 remake. I'm not getting any hits
on
that either.
They use the word remake loosely. I don't know if that's what I would consider it, but it has an N64 version.
Oh, okay. I got it.
All right.
I got it.
I think he's good. So, Alex, you got any idea?
It's more of a sequel than a remake.
Right. More of a sequel than a remake.
On the N64.
What's a game that's got some good animal grunts? Which mostly is what it has.
I don't know. Freaking like, you know what? Primal Rage. What about that?
Think more in a cockpit.
Killer Instinct.
Cockpit.
Pilot Wings.
Animals. Ooh.
Animals.
Animals in cockpits?
Yeah, yes. Come on.
Oh, Star Fox.
Yes.
There you
go. Is Star Fox worth playing today? Right? All right.
All right. There we go.
Got that one. Okay, now this one, this is ratchets it up just a little bit. All right. This is from a video that I, kind of a video recipe that you've not done too often. So this one is from Choosy Moms Choose 6 years ago. Great screen name. Love it. He says, funny. I've gone back and enjoyed blank on emulator a few times in the last decade, but I haven't had much use for blank. One thing I miss about blank in games of that era is the distinctly Japanese smooth jazz presentation with clean menus, smiling cartoon faces, and of course, that pleasantly bland music. You still see that presentation in the Hot Shots Golf series. There's something so soothing about it, you almost forget to throw the controller.
That's a good comment.
Great comment. I love it. But this one, Alex, I'll give you a hint. In this video, you talk about two games that are not related in the same video.
Well, that narrows it down.
Just two?
Just two. The title includes just two games. I don't think they're related outside of just having
music. Oh, I know what you're saying. This is either SimCity or Pilot Wings.
Exactly. Yes. Are Pilot Wings or SimCity worth playing today? Yes.
Yeah, I remember doing that. And I regret that video because I wish I had given each of the, you know, when I made that video, let me defend myself for a second. When I made that video.
No one's mad.
Defending yourself against yourself. You're the one who wants to do it different.
Well, I guess so. And I'm paying for it now because when I wanted to do that 100 years ago, it was just like, well, everybody already knows this. And that was back in like 2013, 2014. I'm like, well, everybody already knows about these games, so who cares what I say about them? And sure enough, when I posted that at first in 2013 or 2014 or whenever it was, it got like 200 views in the first 2 months or 3 months. And then all of a sudden it balloons up to whatever it is now. And it's like, well, don't I look like a perfect ass? You know what I mean? Like, there's no way to plan something like that. So it's like, if I knew, I would have done better. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I maybe never too late to go pull them apart and do a relook. It's been a while.
You do a lot of relooks now.
You can do it.
I don't know.
Are two games I know you love, or at least one of them.
I do, but like, it's how do I not repeat myself? You know what I mean?
That's tough.
Becomes difficult.
Is remaking a SNES Drunk video worth doing today?
There you go. That's a good video idea.
Might as well name it that. That's good.
All right. Well, here's another one. This is from 5 years ago from Cypress Dahlia, which is a pretty edgy name. That's edgy. Says, I just watched this again, and did you say this game was easy? Even on the hardest difficulty? You're a monster. Oh,
I think I know what this is.
The last two bosses are considered to be extremely cheap and difficult, according to most people. How did you manage it? And then a once SNES drunk chimes in, also 5 years ago. And I love this because it just sounds like coach speak coming from Alex. He's like, hey, it's just a matter of staying patient. There's no time limit. There's no need to try and rush through it. The final boss is tough, though. Reminds me of Dracula in Super Contra 4. Just a classic Alex being like, stay in the pocket, keep your hips moving. What did I say? Contra? I meant Super Castlevania 4.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. Dracula and Super Contra, though, would be fucking awesome.
That would be fucking sweet.
A crossover game. Okay. That'd be good.
That'd be sick. I think this is Demon's Crest.
No.
Okay. Oh.
You came in confident. I thought you had it there. But no, it's something a little bit more bright than Demon's Crest. More colorful. More mascot oriented.
Sparkster
it is, correct.
Nice. Whoa, I am surprised I got that. Wow. Yeah. Not even, wow. You know what? I kind of remember that because I remember like just kind of, you know when you get in the pocket? It's like being in the pocket as a drummer. When you're playing music, you're just like in there. And then same thing with video games. When you get in there with certain games, it's like, that ain't hard. It's just a matter of just like getting in rhythm and just like making sure it works. That's all.
Just staying in the pocket. Keep your hips moving. Keep your head up. Keep your eyes downfield. Yeah,
that's right. And it worked for me. I'm surprised that's not Demon's Crest because those are the most comments I get for that. I'm like, Demon's Crest is not that hard, but anyway.
You crushed Sparkster and impressed Cypress Dahlia pretty well. So I got a bonus one here for you, and this one's all you, Alex. This is from 9 long years ago. Snestruck comments on his own video, had to rewatch this to recall a bit about the intro. Good God, I had no idea I was so annoyingly drunk for this voiceover. Do you remember which one?
Could have been. No, I don't. It could have been any of them.
how did you find this?
I just scrolled through his videos and I literally just read a few of the top comments from a few videos.
Was it the one where I did every Super Nintendo football game?
No. No, this is single game specific.
Okay. Smash TV?
Not Smash TV. This one.
I'm trying to think of like the old timey games. Like, okay, when I first started, like, what were the games I wanted to talk about? Legend of the Mystical Ninja, Illusion of Gaia, Lufia, Mario RPG, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI. What did I cover in that January after that? Because I started in September, and I remember that period of, like, the early period of, like, stuff that I was, like, really determined to make stuff for, and then the year looped around, and I was like, okay, now what? And I was just like, shit. I don't know. I remember, I actually kind of remember because that comment wasn't made in the moment. It was made after the fact, after I posted it.
Right.
I do remember making that comment because I remember coming back and being like, wow, this is bad. I'm going to make sure not to do that again. I remember thinking that, but I don't know what video that was. I think it was like Mortal Kombat or some shit. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I give up.
Well, I'm going to hint you a little bit. I mean, I don't know that you had your feet on the ground when you did that intro the first time. I think you might have been, your head was up in the clouds.
It was out there.
It was out there, yeah.
Out of this world?
Yes!
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Good job. Good job. That was fun. I had fun with that. Did you think that was fun, Alex? We could bring that back.
I thought that was fun, yeah.
That's good.
It's pathetic that I can remember this stuff, but that was actually kind of cool. Yeah,
very cool. I'm glad to hear it. Well, I guess that's going to wrap us up here. Thank you, Top Spot, for coming on the show and hanging out for a little bit. We definitely appreciate you taking some emails and letting us know what you've been up to lately. Is there anything you'd like to share or plug or shout?
I'm good. Just most of my online content is all about just having a large video game collection and different ways to help organize and keep it tidy and neat and all kind of handmade things. So if any of that sounds interesting, if you just search TopSpot123, you'll find everything I make.
Right on, man. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. And everyone, that's been another Drunk Friend podcast.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Trav. Let me just double down on that, because Top is a wonderful creator that comes up with creative solutions to help organize stuff that isn't easy to organize. You know, if you're an OCD type like me, you want stuff to be in a specific order. You want stuff to look nice on your shelves. Go check out Top Spot. Like, I'm one of those guys where it's like, you know what? I don't want my shelves to look like everybody else's shelves. I don't want my shelves to look like, oh, here's this guy's Target basic bitch IKEA shelves. You know, I want nice mahogany shelves to have a nice refined look to them. And here's Top Spot giving us info about this is what you need to do with your boxes. If you're going to custom make boxes for games that you don't have boxes for, this is the channel that you go to make sure your stuff looks good on your shelves. And he's great. This is what this guy has cut his teeth on. He's really a great hobbyist. That's the best way I can describe it. Best hobbyist for retro gaming. So
well said. Indeed.
Extremely kind. That's extremely kind, yes. And I thank you. I just try my best to help people.
Well, that's just it. It's to help people. It's to help people like me, like Trav, like the people out there. He makes great videos that simplify things like, how do I make my stuff look good in my house so I don't look like a loser when people come over and see all my games, all these gray cartridges? It's like, no, they don't have to look like that. They can look nice. And Top is the best at that.
Indeed. I'm definitely a little bit more self-conscious now about my IKEA shelves, but that's for me and Alex to sort out. But I agree. Everything that SNES Drunk said is on the money. Top Spot does a great job. You should do more. You should do more.
I hear you.
All right, everyone. Now, that has officially been another Drunk Friend podcast. You can head over to polymedianetwork.com. We got new episodes of Polykill all the time. Point and Drink Adventure, Uncle Doug's DVD Bin's got a new season out. We got Top Gun and The Fly episodes out. So if you like those movies, you want to check that out. And, of course, Indie Quest for all your indie gaming needs.
Oh, I'm supposed to read. I'm sorry. I didn't scroll down. You can send an email to the show at drunkfredpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not interested in sending an email, that's not a big deal. Just give it a rating and a review on a podcast app of your choice. And guess what? Do you know what that'll mean? That'll help us out
big time.
He's getting fancy with it. He's getting cocky. Let's see how it plays out. Well, you can find us.
I want to lean into like the monster truck voice. I've been inspired by that guy recently. So,
big time.
You can find us on the social media, probably here and there. You can find me at Trav Plays Games. Alex is, of course, at SNES Drunk. And Top Spot 123 is at Top Spot 123. Can't miss it.
Imagine that. The track you hear right now was composed by our friend Kulor. That's called Electric Star Bounce. Go check it out. He's a great musician, and you can find a link to more of his music on the Buzzsprout podcast page. And a shout out to Josh Leslie for our thirst quenching logo. Trav, I hate you for writing it this way because there's too many J's and S's and H's and L's and S's and L's and E's and shishes and thirsts and things. All the shishes and things. Like,
it's you're right. I shouldn't have named him that. I don't know why I did.
It's a shish kebab of naming, and it's just terrible. I blame you.
It's all my fault. But Josh Leslie's still a great guy. And be sure to catch all of us on YouTube if you can. And thanks for listening.
Hope you have a great rest of your day. Cheers.
Take care.
Burp, 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 burp. Burp, 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 burp.